A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are powered by the OBBM Network. And today's show, man, it's a sit down and relax and just get mentally healthy Monday because we have an amazing guest, Scott Medlin. He's a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. He is a law enforcement officer, author of many books, and an amazing public speaker. And we are so honored to have him on the show today. So, man, just sit back, grab something to drink, because this is going to be a show. I want to welcome Scott to the show. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good, John. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to have you. You know, we connected on LinkedIn. I feel like we've connected so long ago because I'm following everything that you're doing. You're an author. You have four books out now. Hopefully there'll be more in the pipeline. You've got a podcast. You're like one busy guy. And for me and John, we just want to say thank you right off, because we're all about building our first responders' resiliency and wellness toolboxes. And everything that you teach, that you touch on, that you write about, it's all got to be in there. So, how did you get started? I mean, take us through getting into the Marine Corps, and then you decide to be a cop.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I was in the Marines from 2001 to 2007. I got deployed for Operation Iraqi Freedom, which ironically started 20 years ago today. 2003 and 2005, that's when my deployments were. When I got home in 2005, I was very fortunate to return. I almost got killed on that second deployment. For a year after that deployment, physically I was home, mentally I was not. And a year after being home in 2006, my dad said, "I'm losing you and I'm losing your brother," because my brother and I were actually there at the same time. And he was in the Marines too. So we were in the same exact unit. He said, "I'm not going to lose you too." And I realized right then and there, it was serious. And both of us got diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. But we weren't going to view it as a disorder. We were going to view it as something that make us stronger. So we got the assistance that we needed professionally, and we never looked back. By the way, that was neuro-linguistic programming, which I'm a big fan of. But right after graduating college in 2007 and getting out of the Marines, I went into law enforcement and I served, and I was sworn all the way until 2022. But there were really, really unexpected rocky roads along the journey. But what really got me on this journey was in 2020. That's when I learned for the first time, after being on the job for more than 10 years, that's when I realized and learned for the first time that more police officers are dying by suicide. I know I'm not saying that was the first time it had happened. I know it's been happening. But why do I have to be in the career for 10 more years to finally learn that? That should have been front and center knowledge, just as trained as much as recognizing the external risks, external threats of the job. And it wasn't. And I didn't know how to get help from within the department. Nothing. I said, I've got to be a part of this fight to bring these suicides down. I've got to be a part of this fight to raise morale on an individual level, because we can't keep reacting to external circumstances. We have to create the mind we want, to create the life we want, the career we want, and to overcome those obstacles. So I wrote my first book, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue, and I pretty much haven't looked back. That's the mission, to keep police officers alive and thriving.
Right here. Yeah. It's a fantastic book. Really, let me just touch on something real quick, John. So, Scott, your dad realized that you needed help. So you got help before you went into law enforcement. Do I have that timeline correct? So when you were, okay, great. So when you were realizing that you were, things were still not okay, that every once in a while you were struggling. And of course, you know, John and I both have been through a post-traumatic stress disorder diagnosis. Agreed. We don't live disordered. You are not your disorder. And so you're learning coping mechanisms. You're learning how to manage your triggers. Could you go back to the VA to seek out help? Or were you just so inundated at your job as a cop that it was like, I need something here?
I could go back to the VA, but my experience personally with the VA has not been good. So I don't like going to the VA. I seek out personal assistance. Now, that was back then. Since then, I have gone through treatment through the VA. But that's just my personal experience.
The one thing, and Sam, you touched on it, and I was going to touch on the same. Our minds must be thinking alike. Two things, if you don't mind, Scott, you said you almost were killed, right?
Yes.
And we have so many veterans that listen to the show that have experienced or journeyed through that same thing. But one thing that they don't have that you had was your dad, probably a strong soul like yourself, gave you that hand out to bring you to that hand up, you know? Reached out his hand and said, hey, you need help. And we see so many law enforcement and veterans out there that don't have that support network.
Right.
Then you brought up that, you know, your department that you had joined, you didn't know that there was all those suicides. I got on the job in 1990, right? They never discussed suicide. It was unheard of, you know, or it was hidden. And still today, and, you know, you more than me, because you're more of the recent cadets, it's sad that we're not bringing this up to our academy classes, that, you know, the leading cause of death is suicide. That should, you know, put a light bulb over a lot of these recruits' heads going, hey, I don't want to be that one. I don't want to be that way, you know? So you bring really, really good points. And I thank your father for doing what he did, because it probably saved your life.
Oh, I don't even want to think about how things would have been had he not given me that reality check. I don't even want to think about how it would have been. Instead, I'm grateful very much that he called us out. I mean, essentially, he just said, I'm losing you. And that was hard to hear. But at the same time, when he said you need help, it's still up to the person to get better. It's just help. And yet, if you need to look at it as backup or support, then that's how you phrase it to get yourself in there. Doesn't mean you're weak. I know you hear that a lot, but it's very true. It takes a stronger person to make that call and to go in there and acknowledge they're human, raise their awareness as how they are, how they're doing, and then take that action proceeding forward to get better. It's all worth it, though, every single bit of it.
I had the same experience you did, where my mom was the one to say, hey, we need you back. And,
oh, wow.
You know, so, you know, blessed in that we had parents, that were watching, like, oh, my kid, this is not the kid that I raised. This is not the kid that went off to boot camp before, how I was before I was a Secret Service agent. And, so we share that. And, you know, we're going into a really big family workshop coming up with local firefighters and their spouses. And one of the big things that we talk about is you have to be that person to say, hey, I think you need help. And then on the flip side, the first responder needs to be the one to then take a breath, because we got to like stop, because we're trained to react. Our training, that is us, okay? We're trained to react, not to respond calmly when something doesn't feel right. So for some, that may not feel right. Hey, you need help. Take a breath and realize that the person is saying that out of love. And, you know, what we're going to talk about is how to do it together. So it's like you said, it's like, well, now what? Okay, I need help. Again, you fall into... call it fate, call it luck, whatever it is, totally blessed to have practitioners that certainly screwed my head back on straight, but I needed to take time away.
Right.
Oh, Scott, what was your first reaction? Like, just getting on what Sam said, What was your first reaction when your dad turned around and said, I'm losing you, you need help? Was it that reaction like, I'm good, I'm fine? What was your reaction? Do you remember?
It had been that way where I looked, I'm fine, I'm good. It's everybody else, not me. That was how I had been. That's how I had been viewing everything. That was my perspective. But when he said, I'm losing you and I'm losing your brother and I don't want to lose my sons, I don't want to lose my family. No, it was the heart check I needed. I thought to myself, oh shoot, this is serious. We can't be this way. Cause we had been arguing, our relationship with our youngest sibling had been deteriorating. And it was getting bad. But once again, I thought, well, it's them. It's all these other people. And people don't understand what we went through. It was really a bad perspective to have. So, but ultimately when he said it, it shocked me in the heart. And I said, yeah, I will change. I will change, because there's nothing wrong with change. Everybody has to change as life progresses. There's a saying, it's a fact too, but what does a plant do when it stops growing? It dies. People, when we stop growing, we essentially just die. And there's that other phrase that comes to mind. Someone died at 25, but he wasn't buried until 75. And we don't want to be so far gone because we refuse to change.
Right.
Well, I think that's a mic drop moment right there and a perfect time to take our first break. We will be right back to continue our conversation with Scott Medlin. Stay tuned, everybody.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Move Freely America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. Movefreelyamerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam and the amazing Scott Medlin. Am I saying your last name right?
Yes, you said it right, John. Yes,
all right. Because correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm really bad like that.
No problem.
And we've been discussing, you know, not only the flags that other people recognize that we don't recognize in ourselves, but how to get over that hump and how to accept help. And, you know, Scott, you brought up that your pop said, you know, we're losing you. And Sam, I know your story is the same way. You opened up that note and it said, we want you back. You know, mine was a little different. Tara was saying it to me for years and I was not hearing it until a SWAT team shot tear gas through my windows. That was kind of my eye opening, awakening, going, wow, I have a problem, you know. But I'm like what you said, Scott, I was not seeing it. I was not seeing the signs. I was like, it's not me, it's everybody else, you know. So I'm trying to understand, like Sam, when you got that note saying, hey, we need you back, what was your mindset at that point? Just reading that going, we need you back. Was it that I'm not gone, or was it, oh man, was it that reality check?
Like, it was relief.
It was.
Yeah. Because as we talk about, you know, in our workshops, and Scott, what you talk about is like, because of our training, we're not trained to show weakness. We're trained to deal with what we have to deal with, and then we move on. And, you know, 9/11, nobody wanted to talk about the two-ton elephant in the room. We didn't have a field office. Our building was 7, last one to come down that day. And it's just as a first responder going through trauma, there's no outlet. I'm by myself living in my apartment. Who am I going to talk to? I didn't have a cat. I didn't have a dog, because travel, right? I had a beer. I had a wine bottle. That's what we did, because it's if you after, you know, half the whatever is gone, you're like, F it. You know, I don't need to talk. There was a time you know, while I was getting help, and Scott, you talk about this in your book, kind of like those danger signs, and we're talking about going into depression. It's a word that first responders do not want to relate to, let alone say, yeah, here, me, right. It's me. Right. And once you're down that rabbit hole, which I was so far down that rabbit hole, the anger, the inability to communicate, because I couldn't make sense of what was going on in my head. Scott, reading your book, I know it was the same for you. And that's where the word fine, that four letter word, everything's fine. Everything, when we know it's not fine, but it's like, F the world, man, you don't get it. You don't know what I've been through. And to have somebody say, whoa, I may not have done what you have done, lived the way you have lived. Help me walk in your shoes. Help me get in here by talking. Right, Scott? And that's what you bring up. This was your, the book right here, Mental Health Fight, The Heroes in Blue. This was your first book, right?
Yes, that was my first one in 2020.
And you have four total. Please go hit. Scott is a pro at this because he already put his website right there next to his name. You can find the books on the website. Highly recommend. It will explain what's going on up here. And I wanna dive into that a little bit, Scott, because when did you make the choice not only to get the help? That's part of it. But to become a lifelong learner of keeping yourself, your triggers, your mind healthy, well, to kind of like dive back into it a little bit. But how did you get immersed in it?
Well, I realized that I had been through enough hard times that some were preventable because of they happened because I didn't take the action I needed to. And we only see change in our lives when we take action. There might be external factors that make things seem a little bit better, but ultimately, internally is where the big change has to happen. In 2016, my police canine and I were pretty much in the prime of our time working together. We were finally getting just amazing, consistent results. I was loving it, but I let that job become everything I was. It was my identity. And I know so many officers have fallen into that. So many veterans have fallen into that identity crisis. But my wife, she was telling me for a good 9 months around 2016, I don't like you doing all this. You're coming home. You're grumpy. Oh yeah. Okay, great. You have more training you have to attend. Oh yeah. You got called out again. Yay. I mean, she didn't like it. She said, and then another thing was the off duty. I was just signing up for easy money. She said, we don't need it. Why are you doing this? Yeah. All these things. I totally ignored it. And then in 2016, she told me, I'm having thoughts of leaving you. And I was, oh shoot. I've become someone I promised I'd never be. I became that police officer who let my marriage get out of control. And in a bad way. And it was just another reality check. So I resigned from canine to save my marriage, but it wasn't just, oh yeah, sure. Here's the dog and I'll get on with life and we'll be happy. No, for a year I struggled because I missed canine a lot. That's when I was so low in 2017. I went back to the doctor who treated me for PTSD from Iraq. And I said, I'm not recovering well from this at all. And I'm resenting the living, you know what, out of my wife. And he said, it was trauma you went through and you need to learn how to react to it. So I was in a low spot like no other that I had ever felt before. And I read the book Millionaire Success Habits by Dean Graziosi. And you might be thinking, why would a cop read something by a millionaire? It's because he was talking about all the fundamentals in your way of thinking that can change your whole entire life. And I can tell you right now that it's led to me writing four books, led to me speaking literally to coast to coast, being honored to do that, income stream of more than just one paycheck, feeling a lot better, even though life happens to all of us, just the resiliency is like second nature. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to admit when I make mistakes. And that's when I just made a promise, like, yeah, but I'm also human. I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but there's a lot to be said when you make a pledge to yourself, I will raise my awareness. I will always be aware of how I'm doing. And if someone points it out, I won't fight it. Now, if they're just making false claims, that's another thing. But also, just never stop taking action. Whatever needs to be done, whatever your shoulds are, they need to turn to, they need to turn into something you have to get done. And they will only get done if you take action. And that was, and I haven't looked back, and that was a mentality that I'm glad I got. But don't get me wrong, life happens to everybody, and it's not every great day is a great day.
You know, you mimic exactly what our last week's guest with Code for Couples, Cindy Doyle, says when we talk about the family where the wife's going to leave, because that's, you know, that's the aha moment going, oh no, so now I get rid of the gate to canine, I get rid of something I love to save something that I love. But now I resent something I love because it made me get away, give away something I love. So it's that resentment factor. And, you know, to everybody that's listening to this podcast, adhere to these words. You know, the guests that we have on are not just people that are just spewing words out of a book. They feel this. This was their journey. We see the healing process. We hear it from Code for Couples. We're hearing it again from Scott. You know, when multiple people are telling you the same thing on this awareness level and the trigger levels, you have to have that soak in. And like we said in the beginning of the show, we have to turn around to ourselves and go, well, maybe it is us. Maybe we got to listen to that, you know. So, you know, thank you for reiterating that, because how this all comes together, it solidifies everything that you say, Cindy says, and all our past guests say, because everybody feels the same thing. And that's why this, that's why a Badge of Honor podcast has such great informative guests. And I thank you for that, Scott.
Yeah, this is great. We got to take another quick, we got to take another quick break. We will be back with Scott Medlin. Stay tuned, everybody.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are powered by the OBBM Network, and our great guest that we have on is Scott Medlin. He's the author of 4 books, and Healing Our Heroes. He's a United States Marine Corps veteran and a law enforcement canine officer. Welcome back to the show. If you missed the beginning part of this show, it's all about the connection with seeing the red flags and recognizing the mental stress within ourselves to bring forth that we have to go get some help. So, Scott, you know, you wrote 4 books on these topics. And I know Sam wrote a book. The putting the pen to the paper, right, is also a very cathartic way of healing. Some people do not like to talk. Some people can't open up. Some people are hard to open up. So put your words onto paper and it kind of opens you up a little bit. Do you feel that way when you started writing your first book?
Oh yeah, no, that's actually a good question. And it really did. But I knew I wanted to do more speaking because I love to speak to people and see people.
Right.
But at the same time, I follow a guy named Brian Tracy, who's a very successful international speaker, author. And he said, write a book. It helps with people who, you know, obviously can't be in attendance, but also it's huge with credibility. People will remember a book a lot more than a business card. But I thought to myself at the same time, I need to get something in the hands of officers that's quick, efficient, and can leave them feeling a little bit stronger. And by the way, before we took the last break, I just had to give you were talking about Cindy Doyle, so I'm going to give her a shout out. She's amazing. So yes, I recommend people follow Cindy for sure.
Yeah, she was. I mean, and on the relationship aspects, she really hit it out of the park. You know, on healing, because so many of our officers, and we're doing the the family workshop next week, is that, you know, it's the disconnect between the husband and wife. You know, we've all seen it. And we have to have some understanding, you know, to be able to go forward together. And we have to grow together and move together in order to make everything work, or it's going to collapse and die like that plant you were talking about.
Oh, absolutely. And I bet there's at least one listener who's already related to what we've all said, and you've had guests on your show, including myself, and I'm honored, by the way. But if we're all saying kind of the same message and we're going on a kind of the similar journey, that means there's plenty of other people going through it, and we're providing legitimate ways to get out of it. But it won't be easy. But the thing is, I never became a better person during the easy times. I never became a better person while taking the easy road. Forget that. It's going to be hard, especially if you're struggling right now. But obviously, from listening to this, you know you're not the only one going through something. Chances are someone else is going through it right now. But when you make the commitment to yourself and to others, and you do what's hard and what's necessary, oh, you'll be surprised just how great it is on the other side. I'm telling you, because I'm seeing it.
You can hear it in your voice.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I want to touch on that because there are several things that you talk about in your book directly related to, and I'm talking about, this is Scott's first book. So if you're going to start with one, but get them all, is the way that post-traumatic stress works, the trauma. It's, we take it in, it kind of exists there, and we never know when it's going to come up. So you're in, it's come up. You're in the midst of whatever shit you're going through. How do you tell your audience? I mean, you've spoken, like you said, coast to coast. How do you tell somebody who, whether they're law enforcement, a spouse, a firefighter, first responder of any kind, 911 communicator, that it's in the moment when you almost can't think straight is the most important time to take the action so that you can move through and get some clarity and the help that you need?
Oh, 100%. And if you're thinking, well, I can't do it, this is me. This trauma is defining me. This trauma is meeting my needs. This trauma gives me purpose. And in the sense that you feel empty because your body's so used to thinking about the incident or coping in a negative way. No, there's this big word that I talk about in the book called neuroplasticity, where your brain literally has the ability to rewire itself. And you can start to, all right, follow me on this. This is what I had to learn. You can start to disassociate from the old thoughts that generate negative emotions that lead to negative actions that lead to negative results in your life, career, relationships, whatever. When you start to disassociate and you don't feel those negative emotions, and then you start to foster new thoughts that are actually helping you, and you can do this through meditation. Yeah, I said it. you can garden actual productive thoughts of having a life that you want to create, not being a hostage of the trauma. And when you start to foster those thoughts, they will start to be more at the forefront, more forefront and center of your attention and what drives you, rather than how to run from this negative emotion that constantly happens from the trauma that you experienced. So garden those positive thoughts, visualize them, and you'll start to realize where you need to go, where you must go, not where you should go, but where you must go. And then you'll start to get more positive actions in your life. Once again, it's not easy, but it's worth every bit of it. Another thing that a doctor who helped me through the depression told me was, you can't underestimate the power of gratitude, because you can't start to change your life while being in the same negative state. So you have to start feeling gratitude and change your state of being. And he told me to write down three things that I was grateful for and do this each and every day. What do you know? After 30 days, my brain was literally thinking different, and the negative didn't have so much of a weight down on it. I know that's a lot of information, but that's
it's
what
so important, because I was one that poo-pooed. I was told to keep a gratitude journal. Poo-pooed. Okay. Bing to the gratitude journal. How's that, New York in the house? Is that better?
Much better.
For those of you listening, not watching, I just gave John a little finger. Anyway, the it was like, oh, Sam, gratitude journal, you got to do that. And I would I did some writing, but it was almost like the reminder of the trauma would come back up, and I'd have to go in my toolbox and utilize a skill to break that fight, flight, or freeze, get myself recentered. And I got into a grind by feeling I'm wasting my day instead of turning it around and saying, no, you're saving your days, because Amen. Those days were coming in the future. I just couldn't see it right there. So once I started keeping that gratitude journal, the same thing, and I've done a lot of little shorts and reels and stuff and talked about the way that you start your day, and you have to do it very purposefully. And for years, I have had a high performance planner. Kudos to Brendan Burchard. He's an amazing guy. And I use his high performance planner because it puts you into that gratitude space, to where if anything comes at you, you can just take a pause, again, learning to respond, because we're really good at reacting, and saying, oh, no, this is what I'm supposed to be. Let's focus here. And so thank you for saying that, because the more times first responders can really hear that it takes purposeful action, that do we wish that the miraculous cure is just going to fall from the sky? Of course we do. It's just like wishing for that miraculous pill. Okay.
Right.
Eventually you're going to need more pills because of that pill. And I'm talking about medication here. Okay.
Yep.
If it's here, it's here, and managing that negativity, choosing to start your day in gratitude. You said in your book that at the end of your career, you look back and you realize that was my career. That was never me.
Right.
Can you talk about what we all do, which is take on our jobs as our identity? And I'm just going to call what is like the real danger in that, because of its impact up here.
Well, let me explain one thing before Scott explains, because you guys are really smart, and I know
what
I'm not.
Explain.
I want to explain to my East Coast brothers and sisters out there who don't understand such of the big words that you guys are throwing out. And it's the Bruce Banner effect. And that's the way I look at it. And what you said, Scott, we bring into the identity, we turn into this identity. So, and it's a scary transformation when we try to come out of that, right? So when we think about Bruce Banner and the Hulk, you know, and we turn into this, we go to the academy where Bruce Banner, we're these little nerdy guys going into the academy, hearing all this stuff. And all of a sudden we turn into this big green Hulk man who's going to save the planet, save the world, the whole bit. We forget how to transform back into Bruce Banner again, because it's a scary step. We don't understand what happened to us. And now we live in this Hulk body for so long, then retirement comes or an injury comes, and we're not that person anymore. How do we go back to that Bruce Banner persona again without turning into the Hulk? The triggers make us the Hulk again, and we start causing damage. So that's for my East Coast brothers out there. Figured I explained it a little better.
No, that was a great analogy. Wow. Yes. Yeah, it really was. Well, I can't elaborate anymore on that. I'm just kidding. I'll put in my people have to realize who you are is way more important than what you do. Bottom line. Yeah. And I know cops say, well, it is who I am. I am law enforcement. I bleed blue. No, if I were to cut you open, you would bleed red. So congratulations, you're a firefighter. No, I'm sorry. but there, it does become our identity in the sense that it gives you purpose and you figure out it's you. No, it can never be internalized. It is always an external thing, because I realized when I left full-time law enforcement and went to part-time law enforcement, the department I worked at for several years, do you think I heard from all that huge family I had and whatever. No, they took my city card and said, hand your card over. I didn't even have direct access into the building anymore. And, you know, I didn't leave on bad terms or anything like that. But if you're not careful and you don't know who you are as a person and what drives you, what wakes you up in the morning, and it can't be an external thing. It has to be an inner thing, like the purpose to serve. There's so many other ways to serve people. Trust me. But if you forget that and they say, hand over your stuff, and that was who you were, or you thought it was who you were, oh my, it can lead to so much trouble. And don't get me wrong. I'm proof of this. When I had to hand over the dog and watch someone else take him, I sank. I absolutely sank. So I am here to just warn everyone about that. And here's the thing that sets in though. Officers will say, oh, I'm fine. I really am. I don't let it become who I am. I'm good. Well, here's the deal. Denial and complacency are not how we get through these mental health struggles we can find ourselves in, because everybody gets struck with a challenge mentally at some point during the career and in life. It happens. Denial, complacency, we can't do it. So don't settle don't settle. Keep growing as a person so you'll know who you are and you'll be more value to others no matter what area of life you're in. And if you can't do the job, because it ends for everybody at some point, you'll still be able to continue to add value to people's lives, starting with your family, your friends, and then the people out there.
Let me
ask you. Yeah, and you guys can wait, hang on, because we're going to take a quick break. But what I want to say is you can start doing what Scott is talking about, seriously, folks, by picking up his books. Okay, they're not difficult to read. We're using way bigger terms. Well, maybe you have a couple big terms in the books, but it makes sense. It all makes sense. Trust me. So we will be right back with Scott after our break here. Stay tuned.
Hi, welcome to Heroes in Action. I'm Ray Amanat, founder and creator of this training system. I originally made it so that everyone can train for free. We have programs for kids, for women, families, and businesses. I'm an author, speaker, and educator on everything that has to do with violence and bullying prevention education. If you'd like more information about who we are and what our programs are, please go to our website at heroesinaction.us or give me a call if you have any questions at 727-314-2534. We hope to see you here to train.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam and Scott Medlin, U.S. Marine Corps law enforcement veteran and author of four amazing books. We're talking about mental health healing through the podcast, and it's been a great ride so far. But I do have to ask Scott some advice. You know, through my journey, I've always heard that your brain is not mentally mature or doesn't mentally develop until about the age 26. Right. That's probably 25, 26. All right. We're letting officers into the academy at 21, 20, some of them 20 and a half. Right. So the academy is building these guys up for the and the job for the first 5 years before their brains become mentally developed. Right. And throwing this identity at them, giving them this power of a person, giving them this persona. Right. So now after 26, that's all they know. They don't know who they really are. So do you think a change in training or awareness in training and in the academy at the very start could help with future problems down the line?
Oh, 100%. All this stuff we're talking about has to be just across the board at every academy in the country. And it has to be emphasized the same way the external dangers and going home alive are. It has to be. But yeah, no, we could definitely, and it's not just mental health. It's the principles of success, the principles of how to create the life that you want. These are all things that people, even in their early 20s, have to start realizing. And it has to be conveyed in a way that's relatable in the sense of passion and not just reading from a PowerPoint slide and reading the training objectives and they tune you out immediately. Right. No, it has to be, this is what can set you up for an amazing journey Not saying it's going to be easy. Life happens to everybody, but it can get you through it so that you're thriving in life and in the career and not just surviving. Because overall, how many people just survive through the day and they think, well, I'll be happy when I retire. I'll be happy when I get that pay raise. We can't do that. That's surviving. But we need to thrive. And I absolutely believe that if it's instilled in the recruits in the academy, we can really shift the culture of law enforcement a heck of a lot more.
Do you believe, because you're a professional speaker coast to coast, what are your thoughts and what do you see? Because me and Sam see it around, you know, we've been to a couple of different cities and we hear local. What are your thoughts coast to coast, countrywide, when you hear things from the different people that attend your seminars? Do you hear that there's not enough training in mental health? Do you see that there's lacking in some places and thriving in other places? Because you have a diversity of law enforcement officers that you interact with. Where do you see the pitfalls are? Are they go by state to state, city by city, growth? What do you see professionally?
What I've seen is some chiefs taking it very seriously, and they've poured out the resources they can for their departments, and it's great to see. And their officers are more attentive. But once again, we have to be real. We have to be authentic. It can't just be death by PowerPoint. But then I've had officers come up to me and say, well, some even through the academy, be like, yeah, no, I mean, they mentioned mental health, but it really wasn't a push. I mean, whatever. Wow, because the statistics show just how much we are literally dying from it. And yet, I don't get it. So I'm seeing a mixed bag. But what I can say is the academy classes that I've spoken to, oh my gosh, eyes wide open. They're like, whoa, who said anything about this? I get their attention a lot quicker than the typical veterans. And that's not bashing anybody. Trust me, it is what it is. The recruits are more impressionable at the stage in their career, which is obviously the first stage.
Well, you look at our academy instructors, you know, death by PowerPoint. They are actually, you know, though they're law enforcement, they are instructors just like teachers. They have to go by a curriculum that is set forth by the academy board or by a city. Right.
Yeah.
They have to follow the training manual, you know, the way, you know, maybe they want to be passionate about things and they're being handcuffed just like our law enforcement out on the street. So there is that culture change that we do have to change, and we'll do it little by little. And with the power of your presence and the powerful words that you speak, and you can tell you speak from your heart. I was watching some of your YouTube videos, gave me chills. I was like, wow. Yeah. You know, rooting a yard. Oh,
well, that's the whole thing. What we were just talking about is that this needs to be your journey. So yeah, are you going to be tired? Are you going to be stressed out? Is stuff going to happen that you don't want to happen? Are you going to maybe remember them in ways you don't want to? This is a whole point. When you swear to your oath, you're a new recruit. If your department does not have a program, you be your program.
Yeah.
You, yes, 100%. If you want longevity in your career, you be your program. And part of that program is a wellness component. And we got to take our last break here. We'll be right back to talk about that component. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Scott.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Kurt Buechler, the health engineer right here on the Off-Beat.
Hi, I'm Larry Cortez.
Hi, my name is Susan Hamilton, and you're watching Off-Beat. Hi, this is Doreen Milano.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. Ooh, excuse me. And the amazing Scott Medlin, public speaker, U.S. Marine, law enforcement veteran. Coffee went down the wrong pipe.
Coffee.
Weren't all great. So, you know, Sam, we were talking about, you know, being mentally healthy and prepared for our career journey. So.
Yeah, so part of that is, you know, you've got the mental resiliency and the tools that you have in your toolbox. Again, pick up Scott's 4 books. With that is the wellness component, okay? It was It was no joke. It is no joke. Why do you get body armor every 5 years? It is not because the warranty expires, because it doesn't expire in 5 years. It's because this starts, woo! Okay, that's it. That is, we watch our waistlines.
Yeah. What are you saying?
Our waistlines get bigger in general, okay? The wellness component has to be part of your, again, that longevity recipe. I remember all the aches and pains. I was smart. At least that's what people tell me, because I married a chiropractor who kept me in one piece, literally. And you talk about in your books, you know, we talked about meditation. Meditation is not this woo-woo concept, because a lot of us do it already. We just don't call it that. Sometimes we call it just zoning out, but we find peace in that zone out. Okay, that's meditation. Petting your dogs and just being that, or if you have cats, sorry, dog people here. That is a form of meditation, but you can take it further than that to learn about meditation. Tactical stretching, yoga, it's real. And thank you for your reference to Sean. I always mess up his last name.
Sean V.
V. Sean V. It sounds like when you start watching his videos that he's saying Sean, just the letter V, but he has other letters behind his name. And I started doing it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've been separated from the badge for so long, but just getting my mind into something different, stretching out, some things I frankly couldn't do, like my leg just wouldn't, it didn't want to go in the direction that he was saying, put your leg. I did a modified version. But the whole point is, again, it's that growth, it's that learning. And it's not about pushing heavy weights all the time. I do that too. That is important. You got to embrace all of the tools and, you know, talk about how physical wellness has really helped you along the way.
I swear the one thing that helped me not give up, now, there were those moments like when my dad said, you know, I'm losing you. My wife said, I'm thinking about leaving you. But through the hard times in life, the one thing that has helped me to feel better in the sense to keep me going so I can think about how to get out of a bad situation and stop thinking negatively or fix a conflict in life is exercise. I read a headline the other day that exercise does more and benefits you more and is more efficient then what's in the medicines treating anxiety and depression. Move your body. Tony Robbins, one of the most successful self-help gurus out there. He is amazing. I mean, he talks about you have to change your physiology. Get to moving.
Yeah.
And when every time that I have exercised, all of a sudden things that I was worried about, things that were plaguing me because I couldn't stop thinking about them, it didn't seem so bad. Because those feel-good hormones were released, or the feel-good chemicals were released after I exercised. And if you've been out of which I know law enforcement, the rotating shifts, the overtime, it just seems like it can be impossible to get on something regular. You have to. It's not an option. You owe it to you. Another leading killer of law enforcement is heart problems. So you have to take care of yourself. But the thing is, go for a walk. Start 5 to 10 minutes on with a Sean Vig workout or any kind of workout on YouTube. Just move. And the more you do it, the more it becomes habit. Physically, the better you'll feel, which also helps build confidence, which can help us mentally. I cannot harp on enough, obviously, the benefit of exercising. But the thing is, through my career, I thought to myself, I go to church, I'm with my family, I have friends outside of the job, and I exercise. I'm good. I'm fine. I don't need to do anything else. It made me complacent because I realized I wasn't growing in life mentally, and I was letting the negativity get to me a lot more. And that's what I'm saying. We have to take new things on or continuously get better in what we're doing to help actively cope and grow as people throughout a very challenging career. And that's why I wrote 101 Health Tips for Police Officers, because I just wanted them to have a plethora of options that they could take.
That is fantastic. And with the minute we have left here, just tell folks, you have your website up, thescottmedlin.com. Tell folks where they can find your podcast. And you have a sign up on your website for
If you go to thescottmedlin.com, you can enter your name and email so I can stay in touch with you, and I won't share it with anybody, but you'll get access to my free mental survival checklist, essentially. And it's very quick. And then you can start there, and we can get more involved as you start to follow what I've created and what I'm going to create in the future.
And the podcast?
Yeah, the 10 Code Mindset. It's on YouTube. I just started the audio portion less than a year ago, the 10 Code Mindset, and it's on all major podcast platforms. But if you really want to get through the stress and demands and trauma of the job, I can't recommend it enough. Let's stop surviving. Let's start thriving. That's the name of the game right there.
I love that. I love that. That should be on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
It really should. It's an amazing way to think. It's changing that mental mindset from that negativity to the positivity. And it's a scary step, but it's a needed step. And I'm glad you bring that forth, because so many of us become very, very complacent because we're sitting in the patrol cars. Cops don't even get out on foot patrol anymore. And, they're not even walking around. They're driving by at 35 miles an hour. They're not even interacting with the public. So it's the seat, it's the complacency, and it's their diets. They're not exercising. So take a little bit, like Scott said, take about 15 minutes a day. We all can make that time, right? 15 minutes will turn into 20 minutes. 20 minutes will turn into 30 minutes. And then you're going to see yourself changing over time. People will see a change in you. Everybody will see it, starting to see a change. You'll start seeing a change in yourself if you just follow these simple codes that we should all be doing. We should all.
Yes, Scott, thank you so much again for coming on tonight, for sharing what you're doing. Again, Scott has made it easy. Fill your toolbox with what he spoke about, and there's more. Go to his website, sign up. You have a course online. Get all his books, because the more that you can take in, and it's simple stuff, the better. So, Scott, thank you so much. We will be in touch, and all the best to you and your family.
Well, it's been an absolute honor. And to anyone out there who is going through a hard time, you can work your way out of it. A great quote I had or read was, if you need to change, just seek to change 1% each day, because at the end of the 365 days from then, you'll be 365% better. Just stick with it, please.
Perfect.
I love it. Amen. Amen to that.
Thank you
so much.
Pleasure.
All right. Wow, that was fantastic. I'm serious about the toolbox, folks. Go get Scott's stuff. Listen to the podcast. Take it in. Work it. Make that transformation, those small little things at one time, and you will find that you will just be a different person, a better person, and that means for yourself, for your family, for your department, for the world, ultimately. And speaking about being great for departments, we've got a bunch of things coming up. This Saturday, we have got a firefighter and family workshop. And we're talking all about some of the stuff that we talked with Scott tonight. And we're going deep into how to be a successful family unit. You can find that information on our website at abadgeofhonor.com. Super easy. Go there. I think there's going to be a location change, so I already put that up there. If you want to get in on it, there's a few more spaces. It'll tell you what number to call to get in on it. So you can go ahead and do that. We just had an incredible, successful Walk the Bridge this past Sunday. Hey, if you missed out on Grunt Style, one-of-a-kind limited edition t-shirts that they designed for us, you'll have another chance to get it. We're just working out the timeline. So please be patient. We are getting your Facebook messages and your emails about that. You will get, it's not going to be the same. The second round is honoring our Walk the Bridge initiative in the UK. So you'll be able to do that for all of the resources. We're going to get Scott. I already put this book, the book I showed right here, is up on the website, but I'm going to grab the rest of it. Sorry about the pixelization there. I'm going to grab the rest of his book. So you build your library. You gotta take the bull by the horns when it comes to really putting this information inside of you. So go take a look at those books. Again, we are working together with a lot of partners and resources out there so that being a first responder, you do not have to struggle in your job. You maintain who you are, and it takes being patient and learning in that process. So visit the website. You can click on a logo. Boom, you're on there. I'm going to ask Scott if we could put a 10 code mindset on there so people can get a hold of it and take the course. That he has an awesome course up there too. To all of the first responders out there, thank you for what you do. For all of the first responder supporters, we can't do this without you. This is week after week, we bring you these guests, we do the workshops, we're out there in the veteran community. Visit our website, click on that donate button. We have got a campaign called Roundup for First Responders. Please sign up. What you give goes into making it possible to bring workshops to the first responders, putting resources in their hands. And we thank those of you who have donated. Again, keep it going. We've got, we'll have a special announcement about a new fundraising campaign next week. But to all of you out there, thank you so much. For the veterans, thank you for serving, for allowing us to be free to do a podcast like this. And for all of our active duty, thank you for keeping our shores safe. John, take us home.
You know, I can't say it any better than Scott said. It just keep me, you know, if you can do it, I usually end it with, if you could be anything, please be kind. If you could do anything, just keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward. And that's what it's all about. Even Nemo said it, just keep moving, right? Nemo or whoever she was in there, it says, keep on swimming, just like that. Just keep on swimming, keep moving forward, and you'll have a better mental health mindset. So until next week, man, thank you so much, Sam. Thank you, Scott, for joining in. It was a powerful podcast, and God bless everybody.
Take care, everybody. See you next week.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBM Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBM Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.